Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Mark chapter 9. Again, it's Mark chapter 9. It's a long passage, so I encourage you, if you have your Bible open with you, to read along together. Mark chapter 9. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" And he said to them, "Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him." And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Amen. For today's devotional, we'll focus on Jesus healing the boy with an unclean spirit, which is verses 14 to 29. More specifically, I want to talk about the boy's father and how he interacts with Jesus. I think we've all encountered situations like this before, where we know that God is able to do something, whether that's to heal or to reconcile a relationship or to change something about us for the better. We know that God is capable, yet we're still unsure deep down. We understand, but we don't believe. And this is the situation that this boy's father is going through in this passage. In verse 22, he says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." The fact that he's asking Jesus to do something shows that he has an understanding to an extent about Jesus' power, but at the same time, he's unsure. This is where Jesus answers, "All things are possible for one who believes." And what the boy's father responds with next is what I'd like to highlight for us today. He responds to Jesus and says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Kind of seems like an oxymoron. He says he believes, but then asks for help with his unbelief. But I think this is something that we might wrestle with a lot more often than we realize. How much of our faith in God is theoretical, and how much of it is actually real? We see later in the passage, in response to this father's heartfelt cry for help, for Jesus to help his unbelief, Jesus fully heals this boy. God indeed is fully capable to make right any situation. So I want to encourage us today, let's cry out to God like this father did. "I believe, help my unbelief." Maybe it's a sour relationship that seems to have no hope. Maybe someone we love is really struggling and unwell. There might be a lot of situations where we know in our heads that God is capable, yet we don't fully believe it in our hearts. Whatever those situations are, let's bring these things to our Lord and ask Him for faith and proclaim that He can really do all things. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today asking for faith. We are a forgetful people, and many times we forget or don't know just how capable you are. Help our unbelief. We want to declare that you are Lord and King over all things. You are a powerful, powerful God. So Lord, give us faith and help us to believe. Lord, we praise you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.